Episode 6 is the third and last lesson built around wacky thoughts and disputing them. Covering wacky thoughts is so important that we devoted 3 sessions to them. This section is built around what Turnaround refers to as steamroller thoughts.
Teddy, the first of these thoughts is called the bully, which is the voice inside a child's head that shames and criticizes them ruthlessly. Everyone can be hard on themselves, but it's harder for a child to shake off this negative self-talk. They may say to themselves, "I'm so stupid. I'm weird. No one likes me. I'm a failure." Almost without exception, these nasty terms are used in wildly inaccurate ways. By labeling negative self-talk as a bully who comes and picks on you, a child is more readily able to fight it off and replace it with some more positive feedback.
The second of these wacky steamroller thoughts we call afraid of fear. As anxiety continues, lots of kids really come to hate the feeling of anxiety. There's this subtle shift from the object of the worry to the feelings of anxiety and worry. One author speaks of first and second anxiety. First is the original feeling, and second is the negative interpretation given those feelings. Responding to the feeling with anger, dread, getting upset at the first sign of the feelings are all ways of becoming afraid of the feeling of anxiety. Kids begin to think, "This is terrible. I hate this. I can't take it." Sometimes this is referred to as awfulizing.
We introduce a powerful talkback at this point that we have labeled acceptance. Anxious children often have restricted and limited views of the world and how things should function. I often say in my counseling practice, either you change your paradigm to fit the environment or you're going to try to change the environment to fit your paradigm. Anxious kids are famous for this. They're always trying to change the environment to fit their particular paradigms, and it's very difficult for them to change it otherwise. Inside of them is a scared reaction against a life that is different from how they think it should be. Instead of accepting the way things are, they often try harder to make things work the way they think it should be. If you have a child like this, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, in their striving to make themselves and their worlds perfect, they can be really hard on themselves and vulnerable to the internal voice of the bully. This striving for perfection is often the source of their anxiety. As parents, we need to be careful to not model or demand perfectionism by not accepting imperfection in our children, ourselves, and our lives. You know, acceptance of imperfection can free individuals from anxiety.
There's a sense about life and circumstances that goes, "It is what it is." We help your child accept themselves and their worlds as they are, instead of what they feel it must be. Accepting that you make mistakes, that other people will notice your mistakes, and that things go wrong, takes the steam out of this sort of anxiety. Rather than scrambling for control, there can be a calm observation that things are there for a reason. We are not suggesting to children that they accept any complaint or criticism from themselves or others, hook, line, and sinker. What we are suggesting is that they accept their flaws and weaknesses in a way that is accurate and dissipates anxiety.
How many kids have had that difficult experience of being one of the last pick for a team? A child could protest, "I hate my life. I feel rejected. I'm so embarrassed." Or accept and think, "You know, I'm actually not a very good player compared to the others. Other people can tell this. That's just the way it is." Once reality is accepted, a child is actually far more free to do something about it. They can decide, "You know, I want to be better at this," and practice. Or, "I don't really care about this game," and play something else.
Along with this is the second talkback we call taking it. When kids get anxious, they sometimes have the thought, "I just can't stand this. I can't take it anymore." Generally speaking, anxious children don't suffer well. They tend to be very reactive to physical and emotional discomfort. Learning to bear pain, both physical and emotional, is a critical psychological skill to master, and it's counterproductive to rescue them from emotional stress that they can learn to deal with on their own. Kids have to learn to bear the weight of their anxiety. Your encouragement that they can handle it, that it won't overwhelm them, and your calm confidence in them while they struggle will help them better cope with suffering.
What's been discovered through helping anxious children is that if they develop a tolerance for the discomfort, their anxiety begins to lose steam because they interpret the experience differently. The fact is that kids with anxiety can take it. They already are taking it. Imagine a child who has to get a shot at the doctor. One child thinks, "I can't take it." The other child thinks, "I can handle it. I can handle the pain." Same shot, pretty much the same actual pain, but the first child's experience of the shot is way more painful.
Here's something to ask yourself. Do you think your child can handle it? Do you believe that they have the strength to overcome their fears and anxieties? If you rescue them too often, you might convey the message that your child is weak and unable to handle life without your help.
That is really interesting because as parents, we think we are comforting our kids when we help them avoid fearful things. But Chris, the point you're making is that we are subtly conveying to them as parents, we don't think they can handle it.
That's right, Teddy. In fact, we talk about the process of kids facing their anxieties in a lot more detail in the last part of Turnaround.
The last wacky thought we call subwoofer, like the thundering bass from an adolescent's car. This is a tendency to believe something simply because there are strong feelings associated with it. Anxiety unquestionably has strong feelings attached to it. So what happens is that these intense feelings themselves become the proof for something, and that is a mistake. Just because your child's feelings are intense doesn't mean they have to obey them or consider them as accurate.
We squeeze in a couple more talkbacks since we move on to other issues the next day. The first is giving wacky back. The idea here is to add some humor to your self-talk and make fun of your own scary thoughts. Change the picture or words in your imagination to something funny. Anxious imaginations tend to be big, bad, and ugly. Make them small, goofy, and silly.
The last is find your voice. We briefly encourage developing more assertiveness. Also, we encourage kids to talk about what is bothering them to someone who is a good listener.